All right, everybody, good afternoon, and welcome back into Mining Stock Daily. We've got a corporate update today with FPX Nickel. They do trade on the venture with FPX and on the OTCQB with FPOCF. Joining me from the company and at a conference in Washington, D.C. is CEO Martin Turin. Martin, thanks for taking some time out in your busy day for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Trevor. Good to see you.
Yeah, you are in D.C. There's the Energy Transition Conference happening, the first of its, the inaugural event, for this type of conference. D.C. is usually where policymakers meet. I don't know how much it is for investors or how the meetings are going. Can you fill us in on what the mood is like on the show?
Yeah, sure. So just for context, it's the same people who put on the Beaver Creek Precious Metals Summit that happens in Colorado every September, usually kind of a highlight of the junior mining calendar, as you know, Trevor, in your neck of the woods there. Yep. So really strong conference organizers. A bit of a different feel here, obviously focus on, you know, the low carbon transition, energy metals, et cetera. A lot of government people, actually. It's been impressive, the number of people from the Department of Defense, from even representatives from the White House, from the Department of Energy. On the investor side, the same types of sort of high net worth and small institutional investors that you might find at the Colorado conference, but maybe with a bit of a different geography. So for a first time, I think, you know, fairly successful conference, and, you know, definitely a lot of issuers and a lot of people here searching for investment. We'll see whether it arises or not for them.
Well, have you informed the policymakers about exactly how exploration and mine development works?
That's a long conversation. I think they're starting to get it more and more. You know, is it all going to kind of come together from a policy framework standpoint in time to kind of meet the transition timelines that we want to feed these raw materials to the battery supply chain? You know, that's a tougher conversation, but at least they're in the room, at least they're listening, and at least they're starting to move in the right direction. I think it kind of, there is going to be money flowing from government to projects, whether from the Canadian government to Canadian projects, from the U.S. government to U.S. projects, and potentially also to Canadian projects. That's something that doesn't get talked about, I think, enough in our sector. It really does serve to reduce the cost of capital in a meaningful way if government money does start to flow in significant quantities to companies like ours. And that's a good thing, I think, from the standpoint of just normal course retail and institutional investors, if there's new sources of money coming into this sector in this case, from government.
Okay. Well, there's a couple news items from FPX that requires our attention here. That's a primary reason for connecting today, Martin. And let's start with the news out that it came out actually, I guess last week or 2 weeks ago. You have expanded the Global Generative Alliance there with JOGMEC, your partners there. And that budget is more than doubling from $650,000 to $1.5 million for year two. So congratulations on that. And maybe just for listeners' sake, remind us what that Global Generative Alliance is and what you're setting out to do and why JOGMEC is, you know, so adamant about being part of this.
Yeah. So you'll recall that FPX is focused on a different type of nickel deposit, not a sulfide, not a laterite, but the awarite or nickel iron form of nickel mineralization. We're really sort of have been first movers in this space. Our flagship deposit is the most advanced deposit in the world of this type. JOGMEC is a group we've known for several years, and they expressed interest on kind of getting involved with us to try to find other Baptiste-like deposits elsewhere in the world, both in Canada but in other countries that may be prospective for this mineralization type. Their objective here is to secure raw materials for the Japanese economy. So the way JOGMEC operates is they will partner with Western mining companies like ourselves. They will seek to joint venture projects with those companies. And ultimately, once those projects are sufficiently advanced, JOGMEC, which is a Japanese government agency, will actually run an auction to sell their interest to a Japanese player, a trading house or a Japanese mining company, as the case may be. And so this is sort of their exploratory arm to find the next generation of deposits to secure raw materials for their economy. They've recognized that this is a potentially innovative new source of nickel for the battery supply chain, which is very important from an economic and frankly from a cultural standpoint in Japan. Maintaining that dominance in the auto industry is very important to them.
All right. Well, it sounds like the two of you are well on your way. In fact, you did mention you've already staked 120 square kilometers of prospective ground that I assume you feel has the same prospectivity as Baptiste.
Yeah, that's right. So part of what we're doing is when there's ability to pick up ground at low cost, we're doing that under the auspices of the broader generative alliance that we have with JOGMEC. The objective here of that alliance is to find what are called designated projects. Each designated project will then have a separate joint venture formed, whereby on day one, JOGMEC will own 60% of that project, FPX will own 40%, and the parties will co-fund the advancement of those projects on a pro rata basis. The ultimate measure of success, I think, of this program will be how many and how prospective those designated projects are. We think there's potential here to identify multiple designated projects. And the great thing for FPX shareholders is, you know, through the first sort of portion of spend here, all of that spend is being done by JOGMEC. So for the time being, FPX shareholders are riding along free, and any discoveries that are made are kind of at zero cost to FPX shareholders under the first portion of this alliance.
Yeah, really awesome. I mean, very, very much could add a lot of value for FPX shareholders, Martin. But you did mention, you know, things like Baptiste and the Sahuayo White type deposits. You said you used the word innovative, potentially innovative. And so you continue to have to prove that out and de-risk Baptiste as best you can. And that gets us to this morning's news release regarding your mineral processing kind of test work. And you did mention that the ongoing test work in preparation for its definitive feasibility study has shown that the process works and is conclusive for the most part. And maybe fill us in on this test work, the flow sheet, and why this was so crucial for Baptiste's future.
Yeah, so the Baptiste deposit is well understood from a geologic standpoint. It's a large, very homogeneous, you know, meaning sort of an even distribution of mineralization across a very large ore body. The grade in tons of the deposit and how the mineralization is distributed is not really in question, I think, anymore. The main question then turns to metallurgical recovery of this novel deposit type. Again, going back to my first comment where we're doing something new and innovative here, the market has always had some degree of skepticism about that, in particular around our ability to recover this product, you know, get high recoveries at low cost to produce a saleable product. So over many years, we've done bench scale test work to develop a flow sheet. We've done in previous years two stages or two separate campaigns of pilot plant demonstration of that flow sheet, both of which were very successful campaigns. We've now completed that third stage or that third campaign of piloting at the largest scale for the longest duration. And that has shown it's been very confirmatory of the flow sheet, of the recovery assumptions, and of the main sort of criteria that go into that flow sheet. So a really great outcome, not something that you typically see at this stage of project. Really, these types of larger scale pilots are typically done, you know, oftentimes between sort of feasibility and feed studies. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we take the onus on ourselves to demonstrate how well this flow sheet works, to demonstrate to the market that it works at scale. That's what these results confirm. And again, this is another instance where we're in part using funding from other sources. So this program was 50% funded by the federal government of Canada under one of their initial critical minerals strategy grants, which was provided to us last year. So again, this sort of de-risking and demonstration of the project, again, at very low cost to FPX shareholders. And, you know, we're getting to the point now where questions about metallurgy and recovery we think need to are really being put to bed quite definitively by the work we're doing.
In the news release, you did have a section here talking about optimization, and you know, maybe Martin, without going into too much of the weeds for people who may be uninterested in the flow sheets and processing, but want to know the economics of it, talk to us about where you see potential improvements to this flow sheet might come from.
Yeah, again, without getting into the weeds, and I do think that investors would be well served to maybe spend more time focusing on metallurgy and less on or just as much as they do on exploration and geology. In effect, we've identified through this, what you can see when you run a pilot is certain opportunities emerge when as you start to approximate a commercial scale operation that are not visible or present when you're doing very small scale test work at a laboratory or a bench scale. So in this case, we see two opportunities to take advantage of the inherent coarseness and density of a Warrawite to effectively cut out stages within the flow sheet that should lend itself to lower capital costs and lower operating costs while still targeting the same recoveries. And so we think those are things that are going to lead to a lower cost basis potential on certainly on an apples-to-apples comparison basis to the flow sheet outlined in the PFS. That's one of the exciting parts about this de-risking. It's not just about confirming what we previously knew or what we previously assumed, which we've done, but actually identifying new opportunities that are only visible as you scale up.
Okay. You know, I do want to kind of transition away from the news here and just ask you, since you are in Washington, D.C., and we could probably have a whole nother conversation just based on what you've talked about in the last 2 days here, Martin, given the amount of discussions we've had just about the nickel market over the last few months, while you've been there in D.C., has there been discussion regarding the amount of the supply of nickel coming on the market from HPAL in South Asia? And, you know, as you talk about any sort of trade restrictions or that type of network, I mean, quickly, kind of like last big picture here.
Yeah, I think, listen, one of the real discussions here is around what happens if there's a change in government with the U.S. election happening, the presidential election happening this fall. And some of the really nice insights that I've heard is that, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act and the drive to sort of friend shore the supply chain to ensure that the supply of critical minerals, it's an energy security issue. And the idea that we want to ensure that we have North American supply where Canadians, US, and Aussies are working collaboratively together, that has bipartisan support. And so if we see a potential change in government here in the US this coming fall, I think the big question is, what happens to this IRA? Will Canadian projects still kind of have an advantage vis-a-vis kind of this friendshoring concept as it relates to some key aspects of the Inflation Reduction Act? I think the answer there is clearly yes. And clearly that you know, the United States will continue to pursue policies that ensures the protection of, you know, a push for re-domiciling of manufacturing activities, for protection of the auto industry from foreign, you know, actors who may be sort of geopolitically opposed. That's one really heartening, I think, takeaway from this is no matter what we see at the federal level this fall, the view here is still that we will still have a strong mandate to support that friendshoring concept, which is great for, I think, mining companies developing projects in the States, in Canada, and in Australia.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Martin, thanks so much for your time. I know it's been a busy day for you, but we really appreciate it. All right.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. That's your update from FPX Nickel trading on the venture with FPX and also on the OTCQB with FPOCF.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.